In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades calling us to daily put God's principles of servanthood into practice in our family, work, and church activities. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot as we consider another aspect in the Christ-centered life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you this time about God's assignment. When I was 9 years old, we moved from Philadelphia to New Jersey, and next door lived a girl named Ruth Ritchie. She was, I think, about 13 when we moved there, and a difference of 4 years to a 9-year-old girl is a very important difference. I thought Ruth Ritchie was just it. I wanted to be like Ruth. I wanted to wear what she wore. I wanted to do my hair the way Ruth did. I wanted to walk the way Ruth did. I wanted to talk like Ruth. Everything Ruth did was admirable to me. She set an example. When I think back on how kind that girl was to me, I marvel how many 13-year-old girls want to bother with a 9-year-old. But the power of example is the most powerful force in our lives, I believe. More important than anybody's words is the example that they set. And I want to read to you from a passage in Paul's letter to Titus. He's speaking to a young pastor about what he is to teach the people in his congregation. And he says, "The older women should be reverent in their bearing, not scandalmongers or slaves to strong drink. They must set a high standard and school the younger women to be loving wives and mothers, temperate, chaste, and kind, busy at home, respecting the authority of their own husbands." And I think of what he means by that word, schooling the younger women. He's not referring to giving a seminar or teaching a Bible class. The word really means, in the original, setting an example to younger women to be all of these things, loving wives and mothers, temperate, chaste, kind, busy at home, etc. And I think of the examples that have been set for me of godly womanhood. I think of my own mother. She died in February of 1987, and all six of us children were able to go to her funeral, and we took part in it, each of us taking 2 or 3 minutes to speak of something about Mother's character which had particularly impressed each of us. And we took our turn chronologically. My oldest brother, Phil, was first. And Phil said, "Mother was always there." He said, "That's what I remember most about Mother. When we came home from school, she was there." Motherhood means availability. I remember coming home from school, bursting in the front door, throwing my books on the bench in the hall, and very often just racing on out the back door to play. It was not particularly that I wanted to go and sit down with Mother and tell her everything that had happened that day. We didn't have what is called sharing nowadays in our home. We didn't have very much of that. It was merely a matter of wanting to know that Mother was there. We would usually yell up the stairs if she was upstairs, "I'm home," and she'd say, "Well, good, there are some cookies in the kitchen," or something like that. We knew that she was there. But that was the important thing, to know that she was there. And I've noticed the same thing when I visit my daughter. Her children may be in another part of the house altogether. They don't always want to be in the same room with her, but they do like to know that Mama is there in the kitchen. Motherhood means availability. Then another thing which one of us spoke about was the fact that she was a loving wife. My father was a bird lover, and he could imitate to perfection the calls of about 60 birds. He chose a different bird call for each of us six children. So usually, instead of calling our names, he would call us by giving this bird call, and we would respond. His bird call for my mother was the chickadee. And the earliest memory of my childhood is of the squeak of the front door opening at about 6:10 in the evening when my father came home from the office. He would open the door, and the next sound that we would hear, following that squeaky hinge, was his high, pure chickadee call. And then my mother would answer with her far-from-perfect imitation of the chickadee from the kitchen. She was always dressed for supper. She would change to a fresh dress and fix her hair for my father's sake, because he was coming home. I would also like to say that she was always dressed for breakfast. Never once do I remember my mother coming to breakfast in a sloppy house coat. She never had her hair in curlers in those days either. She respected my father as head of the house. She recognized her spiritual responsibility to respect him. And as it says in this passage in Titus, that the older women are to set a high standard and school the younger women. Mother's primary responsibility was her children. She saw that as God's assignment. Some of you may have forgotten that the fact that you have children constitutes God's call to you. It is your assignment to be a mother. You don't need to worry about going out and looking for some kind of service for God. That is your service. He may have other things for you to do, but don't feel guilty if he hasn't. That should be enough for anybody. Certainly it is the route to fulfillment if it is accepted for the glory of God. Another thing in which mother set the example is also in this list that Paul gives to Timothy, speaking of godly women. They were hospitable. Our home was always open to the servants of the Lord. We grew up hearing wonderful missionary stories at our dinner table because we had many missionaries come and visit us. The menus were rarely changed. We were relatively poor. My mother cooked very plain, very simple food. She was not a great cook because she had grown up in a house where there was a butler and two cooks, but she had married a relatively poor man, and so it wasn't as though she could put on a lavish menu. She just opened her home and her heart, and when people came, we just put another place at the table and sometimes cut down the portions for the rest of us in order to share with them. I remember one incident where we were told ahead of time that a very famous English lady was going to come to our house for supper. She was Dame Christabel Pankhurst, a famous suffragette in England at that time. And before she came, we had a terrible time with her name, Dame Christabel Pankhurst. My brother Phil was a terrible mixer-up of words, and on purpose he began calling her Dame Pankable Christhurst instead of Dame Christabel Pankhurst, so that by the time she got there, we really had no idea what her name was. We had a terrible time with it. Well, my sister was about 4 years old, and when Dame Pankhurst finally seated herself at our table, she was a woman with a rather bizarre and wild hairdo. She had plucked eyebrows, which were marked with a thin red pencil line, rather unusual also in those days, and there were several peculiarities about her. Well, we could see my four-year-old sister absolutely transfixed, glaring at this lady across the table, and my mother was getting cold chills, wondering what was likely to come out of my sister's mouth. And the awful moment came when little Jenny piped up and said, "Why does Dame Pankable have red eyebrows?" Well, those are the hazards of hospitality, and yet hospitality is one of the commands. It's part of God's assignment. The older women are to set an example for the younger. I think of Ruth Ritchie, only 13 years old. She set an example for me. I think of the middle-aged women now who perhaps have raised their own families, and they're being told, now you can do something for yourself. Get out of the compassion trap. Do something interesting. Do something fulfilling. I'm not going to say, don't go out and do something for yourself. I'm not going to tell you, don't go on the cruise, don't take the course, don't go back and get a job. But I am going to say, have you considered God's list of women's work? Faithful marriage, the care of children, hospitality, washing the feet of God's people, supporting those in distress, reverence in bearing, temperate. Another translation, Berkeley's translation, translates that sensible, chaste, which means pure, kind, which means good-natured, and, here's a tough one, busy at home, which Berkeley translates, good housekeepers. These are things for us to ponder and pray over. If we're really sincere about wanting to be obedient to God, let's take this list, get down on our knees and say, Lord, here's your list and here's mine. I'm not sure they fit together. And maybe for some of you, you would say, I can't see how they could possibly fit together. I have to work. I can't be busy at home. I can't always take care of my children. What am I to do? I would counsel you, ask the Lord what to do. He might have an answer that hasn't even occurred to you. He might have another way.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. This is Joy Rayleigh. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.